If nothing else, Jesus' disciples were persistent and more than a little thick-headed. A few Sundays ago, we heard them arguing among themselves as to which one of them was the most important, the greatest. And Jesus tried to correct them, and he reminded them that among his followers, greatness would only be measured by a willingness to be the servant of all. These past few Sundays, we have been with Jesus and his disciples on the road to Jerusalem. And in these weeks, the focus of Jesus has kind of shifted away from teaching the crowds to spending his energies trying to teach the disciples. He is preparing them for what will happen when they get to Jerusalem, when he will be handed over and eventually put to death. Well, today we hear that while they might be farther along on the road to Jerusalem, the disciples have not advanced very far in their learning because they still reveal their ambition for power. Jesus had just told them for the third time that he was about to undergo his passion, but his disciples still don't seem to get it. They seem to have tuned out on Jesus' message. They hear Jesus always speaking about the kingdom, and their minds turn to thoughts of political power and authority. And James and John envision this triumphant procession into Jerusalem with Jesus. And before they get there, they want to secure high places for themselves in his cabinet. One at his right, the other at his left. But if they had really been understanding what Jesus was telling them, they would have known that to be close to him in his glory means to be close to him in his humiliation, his suffering, and his death. They seem to have missed everything that Jesus was talking to them about discipleship. And so in response to the apostles today, Jesus gives them a lesson on glory. In view of the world, the great ones are the rulers, the rich, the mighty, the beautiful. But according to Jesus, the truly great ones are servants. Real glory doesn't come in lording it over others, but from serving others. And Jesus himself is most glorious in his crucifixion, when he loses everything except his love. And God gave that great gift that James and John wanted, not to any of the apostles, but instead to two unknown, low-down, petty criminals. One on his left, one on his right. And Jesus reminds James and John that yes, they will share in the same cup that Jesus shares, whether they want to or not. It's the same cup that Jesus prayed might pass from him in his agony in the garden. It is his suffering and death through crucifixion. James and John and the other apostles did eventually end up drinking that cup of suffering. They learned the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach them. But where they ended up in God's kingdom, we don't know. And we won't know until or unless we get there ourselves and see for ourselves. Jesus defines glory very differently from us. Real glory for him is not the glory of winning a gold medal or being declared a champion or winning an Oscar or being an object of envy because of our looks or our achievements. Glory, instead, consists in being rich in compassion and forgiveness and goodness. And these are not brought about by any kind of worldly success, by being better looking or brighter or richer or stronger than anybody around us. What is your idea of glory? Does it match Jesus's idea? We are to stand out not by talent or looks or riches, but by the depth of our compassion and the quality of our forgiveness.